good to gather once again as a people of God. I really want to thank our worship team and Calvin for leading our service so far. And really welcome back all those who have gone for a good holiday. I'm sure you look refreshed. Think about us who are left behind. Well, today, just to update everyone that Joanne is back in Singapore to visit my ailing mother-in-law. And it's just a matter of days now, and we just covered your prayer as a family of God that the Father will sustain the family through this time as they say goodbye to my mother-in-law. Also keep Pastor Jeremy in prayer. He just got COVID yesterday, and he was supposed to preach today. So I'm your special gift. But really, I was also recovering from my cough, but really, as we gather as a people, and I was looking at the text today, as you know, we're on this whole series on the seven I am statements of Jesus. Well, today's statement of Jesus is, I am the resurrection and the life. Something very important to all of us. And in fact, I was preparing the sermon yesterday afternoon, even after, you know, I have a good long chat with Pastor Jeremy. He really feels very sorry he can't be with us. He really have a great message ahead. So no worries. Next week, you're going to get to hear from him. But really, at this time, just pray for him and Mel and the two boys as well, that they will also will be protected or recover fast from what's happening. It seems that the flu bug or the COVID is coming back with a vengeance, but we want to trust for God's grace to be upon every one of us. Well, as we're on this series, as I say that it's again for the past few weeks, if you've been here, is that we all want to learn to listen to Jesus and do what he says. Amen? You know, none of us who want to follow Jesus or were intentionally not wanting to listen to Jesus. But many times I think we struggle in listening. It's not because it is a faith issue, it is a love issue. Right? Sometimes we think we don't have faith to trust God, but I think it must begin with a place of love. Perfect love casts out all fears. And Paul tells us faith working through love. The more we know we are loved by God, we all know that God's grace will give us that sense of expectation and trust and belief. So all of us, you know, we all will say, I have a faith issue. The truth is, the deep down to its root, we all must say, I have a love issue. I do not know how much I have been loved. And only when we can bring ourselves to that right understanding of how much God loves us in Christ, then faith supernaturally flow from the place of being loved and embraced by God unconditionally and in a way that will never fail us. So in order to listen to Jesus and do what he says, then we all must learn to discover who is Jesus and why we need him. So when Jesus in the Gospel of John began to make those bold statements about himself, those bold claims about himself, people were forced to make a decision. And John, when he wrote this Gospel, he says to us, the reason for this Gospel is for us who read it, that we will come to believe Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. It is a gospel that comes with a very clear agenda. But it was not something, if you realize, if you read the Gospel of John, Jesus was intentionally provocative. He was not making it easy for you to believe in him. But if you look at all the evidence, if it all stack up, you must choose a sense of either I choose to believe or I choose not to believe. And the things that he says, that I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world. The things that he says, that I am the door, I am the shepherd. In a sense, it's either you decide that he is a liar or a madman, or he is truly telling the truth. And Jesus bear witness to himself. Because in Jewish culture, you need two or three witnesses to say that everything that you say is true. That means if something happened and is brought to the court of law, if there's two or three witnesses, the evidence all stack up. And so when Jesus say, I am, no, the religious leaders say, How can you claim that you are your own exclusive witness? And there is a time when even Jesus began to say to the Father, Father, don't do it for me, but do it for them. And then it says, heaven spoke that this is my beloved Son. But the best part was this. The people who heard it, one group says, oh, we just hear thunder. But the other group say, we hear the voice of angel. And that's why Jesus told his disciple that where I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you and he will testify to everything I say to you. So in the whole Gospel of John, there's three witnesses. Not just Jesus himself, but the Father and the Spirit. So if you were the original reader of that time, you begin to realize that whatever Jesus says stack up because there was indeed two or three witnesses that bear testimony of who Jesus Christ is. And today we come to this text in John chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. And this is in a context in which we all know Jesus was in a ministry somewhere else. He heard news that his besties, his good friend Nazareth, was sick. And here was Martha and Mary who sent news. And maybe they were hoping Jesus would go and heal this man. But Jesus somehow didn't look as if he was in a hurry. He stayed for a few more days in what he was trying to do, but then the news came that Nazareth has already died. So by the time he arrived, here was the grieving sisters grieving away because they knew if Nazareth was still alive, even though he was sick, Jesus could have done something. But now Jesus is dead. Nazareth is dead. It is impossible for anything to be done. But when Jesus appeared in verse 23, Jesus said to her, that's Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. I am the resurrection and the life. The gospel rises or falls on the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we do not think the resurrection is a myth or something spiritual or something that is a fairy tale, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ for us is based on historical fact. Amen? We know that Jesus once walked on earth. But 2,000 years ago, when he was hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. And then he was placed in an empty tomb. And 3 days later, he came back alive. And the weight of the gospel rests on the resurrection. And if the resurrection is not true, Paul himself says to us in Corinthians, we are most miserable of all people because of all time we have believed a lie. But then he said the resurrection is true because there were 500 witnesses still alive after 30 years testifying that they saw Jesus alive after the third day he rose from the tomb. Resurrection, what does it mean? Resurrection means that the person who is dead is now make alive, and not just merely make alive, but have a whole new body. So Jesus, when he died in his broken body, but when he was raised to life, he had a new glorified body. And all that he had left, even in that resurrected body, though he could just appear anywhere, but what he could still show was the wounds on his hand and his feet. That's why Thomas couldn't believe. He said, unless I touch his hand and see it. But then Jesus appeared. and say to Thomas, blessed are those who do not see but yet believe. But for Martha and Mary, for the people of those days, you mind you, the concept of resurrection was not a new thing. If they had gone enough to what we call to the teachings in the synagogue, because the synagogue was mainly taught by the Pharisees, and the Pharisees had been talking about the resurrection, the life that comes after death. And most of the people all knew, if they believe and follow God, when they die, God will raise them. They could be resurrected. So for Martha to believe that there is such thing as a resurrection was not something beyond so-called her theological paradigm. But what is going to be beyond her theological paradigm is the resurrection was not a future event, but something that is going to take place right now. And that's why Martha say, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus say, I am the resurrection and the life. Can you believe? Can you understand the implication that I am able to bring back your brother? And Martha say, yes. It is the same conversation that we're going to have. If I ask all of you here today, do you all believe in miracles? All right, two of us. Do you all believe in miracles? But if I ask you the next question, do you believe miracles can happen to you? Yes. Well, very good. But for some of us, it's going to be a struggle. Just like we can believe God answering our prayer for other people. Yeah. But sometimes we struggle God answering our own prayers for ourselves. Right? So this is the tension here. But here was Nazareth being dead, but Jesus went to the tomb. And the words, the shortest New Testament passage or New Testament verse in scripture is two words, Jesus wept. When he saw the tomb of Nazareth, he wept. Here is Jesus identifying with our pain, with our struggle, with our loss. And as it was gathering around the tomb, people were there watching. And then you know what's best? If you're watching, people begin to talk and they say to each other, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Like last week, I talked about how Jesus healed the blind man. They all want to have a theological debate. You know, whose fault was it? Was this guy blind, his sin or the sin of his father or this and that? You know, and likewise, here again is, well, Jesus, we have seen Jesus healing the sick. We have seen Jesus opening the eyes of the blind. But I'm not sure, you know, if Jesus had been around, Jesus could have cured him or healed him, but now he's dead. You know, Jesus was just a bit too late. Here, they have been stretched. Here, they have to think. If Jesus can heal the sick, deliver the demon possessed, cure the lame, can he now raise the dead? Your theology either expand your experience of God or your theology will restrict your experience of God. In short, I will say your theology either heal you or your theology will kill you. What you believe about God will determine your experience of Him. But here was Jesus. Jesus couldn't want to answer himself or get into a debate. But as he was outside the tomb of Nazareth, he gave a loud cry and said, Nazareth, come forth. Now, there was a lot of commentary. Jesus waited for 4 days before he appeared. In the cosmology of the Jewish people at that time, they believe the human soul still hover around a dead person for 3 days at least. Maybe the person died, but they know he had died. and so hovering around. But on the fourth day, they know definitely the person is dead. That's why they say to Jesus, oh, don't open the tomb. He stink. But when Jesus say, Nazareth, come forth. He came back alive. In doing that, in raising Nazareth after the fourth day, was not the wow factor. But rather Jesus, by doing that, points to us as well as the people, his divinity, his power, that I am the resurrection and the life. In fact, for all of us, if we are believers, there is a very first introduction that we have of Jesus. That he is alive. And he is a giver of life. And his life is in us. And so when we receive Jesus into our life, first we must recognize that he is the resurrection and he is the life. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that now the old is gone, the new has come. That even though you and I still possess a physical body that still can become weak and one day we all will die, but yet now in the Spirit, we are all new creation. Well, you guys are no amen. You will say, yeah, I'm a new creation. Even though there's aches and pain, I'm a new creation. And this new creation never dies. Because the old has gone and the new has come. And this is important because the resurrection is not something that we remember or observe on Resurrection Sunday. It's not just an Easter event, you get what I'm saying? It is a reality that you and I can now enjoy. It is something you and I can walk according to that grace of life given to us by Jesus. There are three things right now. How the resurrection affects our daily lives. Three things. Okay, there are many things I want to say, but I just want to point out the three things. We can read there from Acts 4:33. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. The first thing that affects us from the resurrection is we have faith. The early church gathered together, they testified one important truth that Jesus is alive. Why? Because two things. The Pharisees didn't like to hear the gospel because they think the resurrection is a distant event and they can't believe in their lifetime they saw someone rose from the dead. Two, the Sadducees doesn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees was the priestly class. They never believed in the resurrection. Neither do they believe in angels or demons. So to them, the resurrection is a myth. But here, they see the bold apostles, the disciples, standing out to testify to both religious groups that cannot understand or cannot receive or perceive the resurrection. Here, they were saying, Jesus is alive. And this is something we all must rejoice in. You know, sometimes as Christian, you know, we often say, well, if it's not in the Bible, I don't want to believe it. That's good at one point, but we must go back a bit further. Everything was first experienced before it was in the Bible, right? It was experienced by the people of old, and later it was written. And this is something that the Bible is telling us. This one is this. It was experienced before it was written, but now it is written so that we can experience it. Isn't it true? So we need to experience that faith of the apostles. Everything they believe in rises or falls on the truth of the resurrection. And the concept of resurrection must be so ingrained in each one of us and also in our church culture that we are always in that presence and understanding that God is going to do something because Jesus is alive. You know, many years ago, I was reading this article about how when Russia was under the communists and how they were going about persecuting all the Orthodox priests. And they brought one old bishop into the university to berate him, to humiliate him. And this guy was just, you know, humiliating the bishop. And this guy was a communist leader saying that everything that you believe is not true, everything that you say is not true, you know, what you're believing is all a myth, it's a great lie. And all the students just sat there for 3 hours. That old bishop was being berated. And finally, the man said, "What have you got to say for yourself?" And that old Russian priest just said 3 words, "Christ is alive." Then suddenly the whole university hall, everyone responded, "He is alive indeed." Because this is the Russian tradition. The reality of the resurrection is so real that you go everywhere where someone says to you, "Christ is alive," you respond back, "Christ is risen," and you will respond, "He is risen indeed." I have never raised the dead, but I have been known putting people to sleep. So my ministry is what I call a very refreshing ministry. But what I want you to take note of is this. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection. And then what happened? As they testified, he says, "And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all." When we preach the gospel, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we proclaim the gospel, bear in mind, we are not trying to get people to heaven when they die. But rather, we want to get heaven into people while they are still alive. Let me say it one more time. When we preach the gospel, we're not trying to get people into heaven when they die. But rather, we are getting heaven into people while they are still alive. Because eternal life is not a future event, it is a now event that brings us from here into eternity. I have come to give them life, and life to the full. The second thing, how the resurrection affects us in our daily life, is in Romans 8:11. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body." To your mortal bodies, to his spirit who dwells in you. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." The first was we have faith. The second, yes, we have power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now the power that dwells in you. Amen. So you may look very weak, lack of energy, but in you is a jet engine. I will say you have a Volkswagen body with a jet engine inside. You may not look impressive, as what Paul says, "I may not look impressive in many of you, in the fronts of many of you," he told the Corinthians. "But what I say has the power of the Spirit." You and I have that power of God in us because the Spirit dwells in us. The very fact is because we believe in the resurrection and then we confess, "I believe." And the day we confess, the moment we confess, the Spirit of life now dwells in each one of us. Amen. So we are not trying to get more anointing. Rather, we get to know the Anointed One. The abundant life of Jesus Christ is not a distant future, but something we can experience. And then he assures us one thing here, what Paul is saying, is that our body, physical body now, though will grow weak, but he says even right now, He's giving life to your mortal bodies. This is one text I hold on to healing. This is one text I hold on to faith. As I say, you know, some 30 years ago, the very first sermon I ever preached was a funeral sermon. And the very text I had was this text. I am the resurrection and the life. But believe you me, when it comes to funeral, I'm very anointed. But pity all of you not going to hear it if you're going to do yours. There are many people say, well, pastor, when it comes to preaching funeral sermon, you are your top gun, because that was where I first cut my teeth in the ministry. And I preach because I believe it so much that in the years of my ministry, I'll tell you there are many times is something I rest on, that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is a thing that secures us for all eternity, for the newness of life. Joanne and I, when we started ministry some 30 years ago, we have a good prayer intercessor called Sister Violet. And she prays for us all the time. And she will, every Sunday in church, she will be the one playing the church organ. But she will always come and say, Pastor, any prayer requests? What can I pray for you? And she will pray for us. And she prays with such sincerity, with such love. And we all love Sister Violet so much until she got stricken by ovarian cancer. And I was so affected by it. And Joanne and I will always pray. And Sister Violet pray. And we all agree that healing belongs to us. Jesus is the one who gives us life. That the spirit who raised Jesus is the same spirit who gives life to our mortal body. We confess every healing verses there is. We trust in God. We do all things possible. But she never recovered. And I will pray, and I will pray, and I will pray. And, you know, one day the Lord told me, son, let it go. It's time for her. And I tell you, it is easy to hear God, but you don't always need to agree with Him. I said, Lord, it cannot be. But the Lord says, I'll tell you what, I'll do you a favor. I'm going to tell Violet myself. And she's going to tell you, and she's going to say goodbye to you. A few days later, I visited Violet, and the first thing she looked at me, and she was radiant at this time, radiant. Though she was gaunted, she was radiant. And say, Pastor, she was smiling. Did God speak to you? I said, yes. And you know what God wants me to say to you? I also say, yes. Then he said, Pastor, it's time for me to go. But never give up preaching about healing. Never give up believing God can do the impossible. And she just gave me a good hug and a smile, and then she passed away a few days later. From that day on, I resolved to learn nothing but to understand the power of life in Jesus' name. And I can tell you some of the fantastic miracles I've seen through my life. But I also can tell you some of the terrible losses I experienced. But in between the now and not yet, we need to contend with the tension. We will see phenomenal healing taking place in our community, but we will also suffer losses. But because of the resurrection promise of Jesus Christ, those who we buried, we will see them again. And for some of us, we have lost some good friends, we have lost people in our life, in tragedy, whatever it is, because we put them in the name of Jesus. We have that trust that those we say goodbye will come back to us. Which leads us to the third point and the closing point. Philippians 3:10, 11. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings,
becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Three things we learn. We can be affected by the resurrection. Is first, we have faith. Second is we have power. And the third thing is we have hope. Paul was in prison at this time. He knew his death was impending. He's not sure he was going to see the believers again. But he said, right now, everything rests on this thing. Is that I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to identify myself with him. Even as I participate in his suffering, Paul's suffering was a suffering of the gospel because Jesus suffered for the gospel. But then at the same time, if I participate in the suffering of Jesus, I am going to participate in the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. So there is a tension here. Is that in this life, we will say, amen. We have freedom in Christ. But we also must say, oh no, we have hardship. So in one place, we have freedom in Christ. But the other place, we have no freedom from hardship. But please do not take hardship as a punishment from God. Please do not take hardship as a rejection from God. Hardship is part of life. And I will tell you one thing, is life is unfair. But God has the power, as Romans 8:28 says, in him he has the power to turn everything for our good and for his glory. Whatever season we are in right now, you and I may not have freedom from hardship, but we have freedom in Christ. Even as we grieve with hope. Even as we cry, on those dark days, we still can smile. Why? Because our story is the story of Nazareth. Our story doesn't end in death, but we have moved from death to life. And this is my prayer for every one of us. Any one of us here, maybe we are fearful of death. Now I'll tell you, don't be. Because you are already enjoying eternal life. If you pass on from this world, you're going to enjoy much more of eternal life. But at the same time, even though our body is broken, never stop praying and believing for healing. But even we do not see the full effect of healing, we have hope. Amen. Come, let's all rise, people. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. Raise your hands and say, why is Jesus asking you to surrender right now? What is Jesus telling you to give up for him? If you are fearful of death, please surrender that to him right now. If physically you have been broken down, receive his healing grace. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power you can receive over your physical ailment. If you have been so traumatized by life and bitterness is setting in because of unfairness,
remember your story is still being written. Put your life in the hands of God. He is able to bring all the irreconcilable chapters of your life and make it something beautiful. Oh, just raise your hand and just worship Him again and say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe. And so, Father, I just thank You for Your precious word. I thank You for sending Jesus to all of us. That in every season of life, Jesus is still good. As He is, so are we in this world. And so I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, release Your healing grace, Your power. Sustain us when we feel things are impossible. Strengthen us when we want to give up. But Father, we just simply pray, give us a sweet revelation of Your love once again. Embrace us by Your perfect love. That the song that we sing will be a song of the ages. And Lord, we want to remember those we have said goodbye, or in the midst of saying goodbye, give us the hope of an eternal reunion in the days to come. Surely You are the resurrection and the life. Amen.